Hi there, I'm Jed, and welcome to my Philosophy Corner. In this recording, I'm going to discuss this idea of free will. Now, this is something that I think every person in the world has at least at some point had questions about or thought about. Are we free to choose what it is that we want to do? Now, this is also a very important question, not just because of our own individual selves, but because it also goes on to influence the way in which we view each other as well. That whenever we meet a person who maybe believes in a certain thing that we are against, or they behave in a certain way that we just don't agree with, we look at them and question, like, why are you choosing to behave and believe in this way? So this is not just some ivory tower thought, but this is something that has a direct impact on the way in which we as humans interact with one another. So, free will, do we have it? In this, I'm going to argue, not really. Now, this is going to be in a three-part. The first part is I'm going to introduce what many people would see as the argument in favor of free will, based off of the existentialist philosopher Sartre. The next part is I'm going to challenge him. I'm going to say, I don't agree, that he's wrong because of something that we call determinism. It's not the religious kind of determinism. We'll get into that later. And the third part is I'm going to use practical empirical examples to show the fact that no, we are not free agents that are able to act in our own accord. So before we get into this, I want you, the listener, to ask yourself this question. What is free will? If somebody asked you to define it, like I am right now, what would your answer be? I want you to pause this for just a second and think of an idea of that. Now, most people might have a slightly different interpretation of this term. I'm going to be going with the definition of free will is that we are able to choose what it is that we want to do, free of any external influence that might actually take away from my ability to choose. That I, myself, and my own mind are making the choices that determine who I am. Now, this is the belief, a very simplified way of looking at the existentialist point of view with it. In the words of Sartre, essence precedes existence. That is, human beings are born without any predetermined purpose in life. And that because of this, we are able to choose then what our own purpose is. This is the opposite of essentially any object that we can think of, like a phone. A phone is created because it already has a purpose in mind. And so since our purpose is something that comes later, we are the ones able to choose it. That, in the words of Sartre, we are condemned to be free. It's an almost nauseating feeling to know that we are the ones who are determining our own paths in life. And again, this is reflected in the way in which we view ourselves and each other, and we hold others and ourselves accountable in a way that we judge the choices that people are making, that we think they're making the wrong or right choices because they're free. They should be choosing something different, perhaps. Now, to move on to my challenge, I'm going to disagree. I'm going to say that Sartre is wrong in this regard. And I'm going to be doing this through the philosophical idea of determinism. Now, like I said before, this determinism, this isn't the kind of religious determinism most people think about, where there's a divine entity that is planning out my whole life. No, no. This determinism is one that is based off of time and environment. That is, the thing that determines who we are in right now, in this present moment, is something that is based off of time and the environment, something not us, and therefore not free. So let's think about that. We are people right now. We are making choices. Where do those choices come from? Why am I able to choose A over B? Well, I choose A over B because I right now have an understanding of my surroundings, of the world, of myself, and I make my choices based off of that understanding. Now, The question is, where does that understanding come from? Why am I able to understand the world right now in this way? Well, that's based off of my knowledge, my experiences that I've had, that all that collected together has given me my present self. Where does that experience and knowledge come from? Well, that comes from my past. I've had certain experiences, I've learned certain things, and that goes on to determine the choices that I'm making right here, right now. But can we change the past? Do I have control over the information and experiences that I've had before? No, that's something outside of my control. So something outside of my control is playing the core role in my choices of right here, right now. So I'm not free. That's my argument based off of this determinist view. Let's think of an example. You chose to sit down and listen to this recording. But why? Why did you do that? Maybe you're a person who enjoys this question of free will. Maybe you like philosophy. There's many different reasons that many people would want to watch or listen. Now, that would be based off of your prior experiences, right? That your life up to this moment has led you to an understanding that made you curious. You want to listen. And so, yeah, it's not as if I put a gun to your head and said, you know, listen to what I'm saying, but your own self, through those experiences and knowledge that you've had before, led you to this moment. You were not free to choose this. It's a scary thought, I know. I'm going to argue that there's a lot of positive that can come from this later on after I'm done making my argument. But for now, think about this idea of the past. Another example, so we're all born, as Sartre would say, that our essence precedes our existence. We are all born, and then through our life, we find our own purpose. But at that moment of birth, I'm going to argue that no, that our purpose is already being predetermined from our environment as well. For instance, when we're born, we are assigned a gender, right? We are a boy or we are a girl. That goes on to dictate the kinds of experiences and knowledge that you're going to have in your environment, that people are treated differently based off of this. And because of that, you're given a different kind of understanding. And so to sum up this second point of mine, existentialism believes that we are able to freely choose what it is that we want to do, that we choose our own purpose. However, I have argued against this, saying that those choices that we make right here, right now, are something based off of the past, those past experiences and knowledge that we've gained. And that is something outside of our control. And so if that's the case, then yes, we are not free. Now, let's move on to the third point, a little bit more practical and empirical. We are all now engaged with our contemporary digital age. We all have phones, laptops, even our very societies operate on the basis of technology in this very intricate way. And what I'm going to say now in this part is that these technologies help highlight the fact that we are not actually free, that when we use technology, it shows just how susceptible we are to influence. So, for instance, most people have some sort of social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Whenever you're using these different platforms, or just the internet in general, you are handing over data, that is information about who you are, your likes, your dislikes. And this data goes on to determine the sorts of things like ads that you'll see, recommendations that you scroll through when you're online. And these sorts of ads are used in such a way as to manipulate and exploit those kinds of desires that you have. That is to say that the kinds of things that you see online are created in such a specific way as to dig deep into your supposed ability to choose and influence it. And the scary part is it's something that's even outside of our own understanding. We don't even understand and realize that this is happening to us. So say, for instance, on Facebook, once you start talking with different people or the websites that you visit with Google, that goes on to determine for Facebook the kinds of different ads you might see or the kinds of recommended friends or pages. And that will go on to determine and push you in a certain way that even through the determinist way, it's going to influence that understanding and knowledge that you have. So even in our day and age now, there is an example in front of all of us that we are not free, that we are so easily susceptible and able to be changed in a certain way for a sort of predetermined outcome. Yeah. So, for instance, you're watching this and listening to this, and that's going to go on to influence the data that you have online. And that will continue to change who you are as a person. And that's something outside of your control. Okay, so to sum up this section, when we use technology, when we use these digital technologies to go online, we are freely giving over our data. And this data shows the fact that humans aren't free, that we can be changed. We can be pushed and pulled in a certain direction or some sort of other means. So let's come back to that really big question. Why are we even talking about this? Why is it even important that I sat here and told you we're not free? Does this actually change anything? Are our lives just going to continue on the way that they are, even with the knowledge that we're not free? Well, like I mentioned at the beginning of this, we have this way in which we view ourselves and each other based off this very abstract idea. That from this very abstraction of the world, our own practical abilities and understanding is influenced. And so if we are able now to see that people, ourselves, are not free, we can better understand each other, perhaps. That if we were to meet an individual who believes in a certain thing or behaves in a certain way that we don't agree with, maybe now, with this understanding that they did not freely choose this, might make us a little bit more patient, more understanding and empathetic to what it is that had led that person to behave and think like that. That maybe, now that we understand that we're not free, we can collectively come together and try to provide the kind of environment where the kinds of experiences and knowledge that people have are those that are of benefit. But of course, there's a dilemma with this too, right? Many people with this question of free will, let's think about this with law, with criminals, that if we were to accept this idea that we're not free, that we are based entirely off of our past knowledge and experiences, are we really responsible for what we've done? And that's kind of the sad fact, because not really, right? So should we punish those people? Should we, if somebody goes out and murders somebody, they murdered them because of what had happened prior to this, something outside of their control. And so that's something in a debate of itself. But the focus that I would want for this is that if we understand the fact that we are the people who we are, the choices that we make are something outside of our control, perhaps we can better cultivate a kind of environment where these sorts of past experiences don't go on to influence the sorts of bad and negative behaviors and beliefs that we are appalled by. That now, if we understand ourselves in this way, now we can go about our lives in a little bit more of an open way. So that's the positive to take away from this for your own life, but also just society in general. Maybe now we'll have more patience and understanding of ourselves and each other, as I said before. So now I want to hear what you think. What do you think about this idea of free will, based off of what I said? Are you convinced that we aren't free? If we're not free, how should we go about living our lives with this knowledge? What are the practical applications of this outside of just discussing it with each other? I think there's a lot to take away from this. And I would love to hear your thoughts. So, thanks for listening, and I'll talk to you again soon.